Welcome to Sunday School to the service today. Let us turn to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to read from the verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, and we're reading from the verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And as we think of your word, think particularly of the character and the testimony of this man called Enoch. We pray that you would teach us, that we would hear your voice, and that we would endeavor also to walk with God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. In the midst of these genealogies in Genesis chapter 5, we come to a most unique individual. And this man is called Enoch. And then looking at important biographies in the scripture, we have looked at Adam, who is the master of God's creation, who sadly fell. We have Eve, the mother of all living. We have Cain and Abel, the first brothers, and where we see the darkness of the first murder. But now, after the passage of time, this character comes into the world whose name is Enoch. He is special in that the inspired historian takes time to tell us a little about him. Whenever you looked at some of these other people, we have simply their names and some details about their years. For example, of Seth, we are told he was 912 years and he died in verse 8. Of Enos, we're told that he had a son called Canaan. Then he lived another 815 years and begot sons and daughters, and he died at 905 years. And that generally is the way that the inspired historian writes. But then we come to Enoch, and suddenly we're given a little more detail. Just a little more detail. We know that he had a son called Methuselah. And Methuselah is famous because he is the oldest man who ever lived. And then we're told in verse 22 that he walked with God. And it's emphasized again in verse 24 that he walked with God. And here is a man who walked with God. In fact, this is the first man in the scripture of whom we are told that he walked with God. And that is something that is worthy of note. And then he is most unique in human history because he did not die. Verse 24, we are simply told he was not, for God took him. He did not die. And there is another man who did not die, and that individual is Elijah. And these are two very special people in the Old Testament and in all of human history. Men who were taken straight out of this world, right into the presence of God in a bodily way. No death, no funeral, no grave. No headstone necessary to mark their earthly sojourn, because God took them. Enoch is a most unusual character. And yet, we have so little of his life, really, haven't we? If you were to compare the chapters that are written about Abraham, or about Isaac, Jacob, compare what we know of David and Solomon, what we know of a man like Jeremiah, we know so little about Enoch. And yet, the little that we do know is so special. It means ever so much and is full of important lessons. There are five passages in the Bible that refer to Enoch. Now, two of these passages only mention his name. 1 Chronicles 1, verse 3, Luke 3, 37, only mentions his name. So we don't really learn much from those passages, apart from the fact that he is recorded as an historic figure, and that's very important. Hebrews 11, verse 5, we gain a little insight into Enoch. And it's actually the very close of the Scriptures, almost the book of Jude, that we get a really fascinating look at Enoch and the life that he lived before God took him. So putting all of this together, we can learn what kind of an individual Enoch was. And so with this in mind, let us consider this man walking with God. And the first thing we're going to notice about Enoch is his conversion. We know that people in these early days of history, they needed to be converted. They needed to come to a time in their lives when they turned to God. They were not automatically the children of God by virtue of birth or anything like that. They were born sinners, as we are born sinners, and they needed to put their faith in God as we need to put their faith in God. And we are told what prompted Enoch to begin walking with God, for he didn't always walk with God. In verse 21, we are told that he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And remember, these were days when people were living in excess of 900 years. And you might say, how is that? Well, these were the years before the flood, right? The early days of human history and ancestry. And after the flood, people started to live much shorter as the curse took a greater grip upon mankind, because the curse that was inflicted upon the world as a consequence of sin, it's a progressive thing. Man suffers from illnesses today and from diseases today, from disorders today that were not known then, because the curse that afflicts humanity is a progressive thing. And in these days, people lived long. And so at 65 years of age, he was really a very young man. And as a very young man, he was married and he begat Methuselah. And whenever Methuselah was born, something happened to Enoch. He started walking with God. It was only when he saw the little child, when he heard that child cry, and when he took that child in his arms, that God changed him. And we know that becoming a father, becoming a mother, it changes us forever. It's such a remarkable thing that takes place in our lives when God blesses us with little children. And whenever Enoch was blessed with a son, God spoke to him. He looked at that child and God spoke to him. God worked in his heart, and Enoch was endeavored from that day forward, that for the sake of his son and for the sake of his society, that he would repudiate the old way of life and he would start walking with God. Of course, Methuselah would be the oldest man who ever lived, and Methuselah would die the very year that the flood would come. And Methuselah's name indicates that when he will die, it will come. Some people say it means that the man of the dart. The arrow of God's judgment is coming, and that's the picture of Methuselah's name. It's a name that represents coming judgment. And Enoch got a sense of a world that was going the wrong way, a world that would suffer, a world that would experience the judgment of God. Enoch could see that. He got a vision of that, and so he turned his heart to God at that time, and he started walking with God. Enoch lived in a very wicked world, a very sinful world. You see, here in Genesis chapter 5, we have one genealogy. We have the genealogy of Seth. And This was a godly group of people. This was a group of people who lived for God and for the Word of God. But in Genesis chapter 4, we have the genealogy of Cain. And as we pointed out last time, Cain's people were successful. They built cities. They were industrious. They had many talents and abilities, but they were also deeply sinful. They were violent. They were murderous, just like Cain, their father, was. And so we have two families developing. We have the family of Cain, the family of Seth, and the family of Cain were a most wicked family. The family of Seth were a most godly family. But Enoch did not start walking with God from he was born simply because he was in Seth's family. No, he still had to trust God. And you know, there are only two families in this world. One is the family of sin, the other is the family of grace. And which of those families are you found? Because whatever your privileges, however you've been brought up, however you've been nurtured, whatever you know, whatever knowledge you have, none of it is sufficient to save your soul. You need to reach a time in your life whenever you come to faith in God alone, whenever you start walking with God, and perhaps you've lived a period of time in your teens, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever age you may be, even older, you haven't started walking with God. Enoch learned this lesson at 65 years of age. There was a time in his life God spoke to him, God challenged him, and he came to know God. As God speaks to you today, are you going to make a change? Start living for the Lord before it be too late. Enoch saw that. And so we have his conversion. Let's also think about his character. This man walked with God. And that tells us a lot about the character of the man. It is said once that he walked with God. It is said again that he walked with God. So what does this mean, to walk with God? To walk with God is to live by faith. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 7, Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And again in Hebrews chapter 11, we get an insight into Enoch's walk by faith. We are told in Hebrews 11 verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." So Enoch was a man that pleased God. But how did he please God? Well, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." So Enoch had this walk by faith. And it was a walk that pleased God. Now, before Enoch started walking with God, he knew a lot about God. He was taught a lot about God. He learned a lot about God. He learned about what happened in the Garden of Eden. He would have been taught all of that. He would have learned about Cain and learned about Abel and learned about the right way to worship God and learned about the slaughter of the lamb and bringing that lamb to the place where God would be worshipped. He learned all of that, but yet having that knowledge was not enough. He had to start walking with God by faith. And as he walked by God by faith, it wasn't merely about what he knew in his head. It was about what he experienced in his heart. God was within him. God was around him. God was at his right hand. God was at his left hand. God observed him at all times. God was looking at him. God was watching him. God was speaking to him. He had a heart that was sensitive to the voice of God and to the will of God and to the call of God. He was living by faith. He wasn't living merely looking at this world, looking at time, looking at where he was living and looking at what he could gain for the future in this world. He was thinking of eternal gain, thinking of eternity, thinking of that day when he would be with God forever. Walking by faith, he had the right perspective. Walking in the fear of God, Enoch walked by faith. Are we walking by faith today? Are we merely living for this world and living for time? Enoch learned that living for time was no good. He had to walk by faith. Get a vision of the great God that he must live for. the term walking with God doesn't only mean to live by faith. It means to live a holy life, a godly life. In 1 John 1 and 6, we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's about walking in the light because God is in the light. The light represents purity. The darkness represents that which is evil, that which is sinful. We walk in the light as God is in the light. And so we need to walk in obedience. And if we are willfully and deliberately disobeying God, we are not walking with God. And if you're holding something back from God today in your life and in your heart and in your soul, and if you're doing something and you know God's not happy with that, you're not walking with God. Something's wrong. Maybe you once walked with God. Now you're no longer walking with God. You need to put that right. Whatever has got between you and the Lord, whatever has put distance between you and the Lord, that has made you a backslider. And you need to be restored to your first love. Enoch walked with God. Walking with God also teaches agreement. He walked with God. He didn't walk in front of God. He didn't walk behind God. He walked with God. His heart was one with God. He didn't resist the will of God. He didn't rebel against the will of God. He didn't fight against the will of God. He didn't run away from God. Reading the Bible about Jonah, and whenever God called him, Jonah ran away from God. What a foolish man he was. Nobody can run away from God. And God pursued him and God hunted him down until Jonah was brought to that place of submission where he would walk with God. Perhaps you've been running from God today. The person that lags behind God just doesn't want to do God's will, resists. The person that runs ahead tries to do God's will in their own steam, their way, in their time, but there's not that harmony with God. We need to be in step with the Lord in our lives. We need to pray for that. That's how we do God's will. We are patient just to walk with God at God's speed. Not everything happens at our speed. God has his own calendar. He has his own timetable. He has his own way of working things out. We need to just walk with him. Trust him. Walking with God, it implies consistency. He walked with God in verse 22, but he was still walking with God in verse 24. From 65 years until 365 years, this man spent 300 years, three centuries of walking with God. There was consistency there. Enoch was neither a shooting star, nor was he a flash in the pan. His walk was the walk of a lifetime. The one thing that will attract the world to Christ is a people that are steady, who are faithful, who are consistent. And this is what we need. Not quick, sharp bursts of energy that tire us out and weary us, frustrate us, for we're only human. We need to steadily, consistently walk with God. Day in, day out, reading the scriptures, praying, week in, week out, getting to God's house, morning, evening, making sure we're at the prayer meeting, consistently walking with God, consistently walking with God in our workplace, where we're at, showing forth that character of the Savior. It tells. People will see, people will observe, people will see that consistency. We don't want to be contradictions. We don't want to be one thing one day and another the next. We don't want to be up and down. We want to be steadily plowing that furrow for God year after year. It's so easy, you know, to look at others and to point at others. What they're not doing, what are we doing? Are we walking with God? That's so important. And then we have Enoch's contrast. You know, Jude, and we'll turn over to Jude now at this stage. Jude says something rather interesting about this man that we that we know is true from the book of Genesis, but Jude spells it out. Notice how Enoch is described in verse 14 of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Jude calls him the seventh from Adam. I wonder why Jude makes that point. He is the seventh from Adam. Here's the most likely reason why he is called the seventh from Adam. It's because there were two Enochs. And the other Enoch was the son of Cain in Genesis 4 and 17. But he belonged to the ungodly line. He was an ungodly man. Oh, he had a city named after him. But he didn't know God. And so Jude draws the distinction. The Enoch that I'm talking about is not that Enoch who was of Cain. I'm talking about the Enoch who was the seventh from Adam. And of course, seven is a number that indicates completeness. And Enoch certainly had a very complete life. But he is distinguished from the other Enoch. His life was different. I think that's the point that Judah is making, and that's the point that's clear, and that's why Enoch is highlighted here. He had a different kind of a life from his peers and in this old world. He was separated from the sins that were all around him, and he lived for God. You know, two men here, the same genealogy, really. They all could trace their background right back to Adam. And yet one was saved, the other was lost. One was the devil's Enoch, and the other was God's Enoch. Same name, but very, very different. In this day and age, we're very aware of the fact that many people have our names or are almost identical names. You can do a simple search in Google and put in your name, and so you'll find any number of people that have your name. And some of those people will be living very different lives from the lives that you live, having your name, but not your character. But we could drill a little deeper than that, and we could think about people around us, people that, you know, you may know at work, do the same job as you, but they're very different from you. The same career as you, they're very different from you. Similarities in some way and not in another. Because there are some people who deliberately choose to live for this world and live for Satan and live for sin. And there are others whom God separates from this world by his grace to walk with God. The Christian life needs to be a life that is contrasted from the wickedness of this society. We need lives that tell the difference for God. And that's the challenge we have. And we need to pray that God would help us to live that sanctified life in a corrupt world. So are we God's men, God's woman? Are we the devil's men, the devil's woman? Are we so much of this world that really God's grace is not seen? Or are we seen as the children of God in this wicked world? There's a contrast here. And then there is the conduct. Because Jude informs us that Enoch was a preacher. And again, come back to Enoch in the book of Jude. In the verse 14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He preached of the second coming of Christ. So before the Lord ever came the first time, Enoch preached of the Lord coming the second time. So Enoch still speaks to us today after all these years, and he preached that the Lord was coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He was a preacher, and he rebuked the sin of his generation. And the preaching of the church needs to rebuke the sins of the world. There is a negativity in true preaching in that it must define sin, outline sin, must call men and women to account before God. Enoch did all of that. But of course, in this New Testament age, we also preach Christ and Him crucified. And we portray the cross of Christ and all of its terrible love as we call upon men and women to repent, turn to the mercy of God. But there's one final thing, and very quickly, there was his call. Because we are told in verse 24 that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. One day, God took Enoch home to be with himself. He went away one day and he never came back. And was there a search party launched? Did they go looking for him until they were ashamed? And it became known that God took Enoch into his presence one day. And yet, the thing about Enoch is that we learn that there is an eternity. There is that call. And while we will not be called the same way Enoch was called, we can be sure of that. Yet, if we do not live to see the return of Jesus Christ, we're going to be called, and that this spirit will be released from this body, and we will be taken consciously into the very presence of God. There is a hereafter. There is eternity. And that day is coming. Enoch knew that day was coming. God took him in a very special way into his presence, but the departure of every saint into the presence of God is special, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It was a call. God had a time to call his servant home. And that day is coming for us all. And the thing about Enoch here was that his life was short, 365 years. And that is the other thing that distinguishes Enoch. Yes, he was the first man to walk with God. Yes, he was the first man who didn't die, but he was also someone whose earthly life was very short, 365 years. His life was short, and yet it was complete. I once heard someone say that if we serve God and we put God first, if we live for God, God promises long life, and that's not really right. Because we know that God takes good, godly people home early. And that's all of his plan, that's all of his purpose. And Enoch was the very best, he was the cream of that generation. And it was as if God went into his garden and he plucked the best flower and took that flower home to glory. And sometimes that's what God does. I remember a fellow student that we had in Bible college, her name was Gladys. And she was a little bit older than the rest of us, but she was really quite young. She was in her 40s. And Gladys was streets ahead of the rest of us when it came to godliness, when it came to prayer. And she was very different. She was set apart. And Gladys didn't see her studies through. She took an illness and she was taken into the presence of God. And her life was relatively short, but it was very complete. And there are some who live long, their lives are totally incomplete. A Christian, maybe, who's wasted their time, hasn't given to the Lord their all. Someone not saved, live for this world, an incomplete life. Better to die young, to die complete. To die serving God, than to die incomplete, holding something back from the Lord. We all have lives that God has given to us. Such a brief time, such a brief time, such a brief moment. The candle will soon be out. It's only what's done for Christ will last.